Welcome to Emil Franzink's Voices of the West, dedicated to the principle that America was better off when our TV shows featured cowboys instead of warriors.
Yes, indeed. And hello there. Welcome to another edition of Emil Franzink's of Voices of the West. I'm Harry Alexander, Bunker de France across the table.
I'm not a barrister.
No, he's not a barrister. And in Los Angeles, it is Todd Roberts.
He's an embarrasser.
Gentlemen, how are we?
Oh, and we are fine, and our studio audience, Barb Whitus, is here as well. And before anybody starts bitching about the live stream having problems, yes, I know it's having problems, but you know, don't listen right now. Listen to the podcast. Podcast and
at a later date, at your own convenience.
Yeah, exactly. In fact,
with a beer, your feet up on the table.
We just may start doing that from now on, and screw this live stream stuff because
Harry,
it's getting to be an issue. All right, you've got something that you need to. You got the bunkhouse.
Well, actually, I'm going to give a very abbreviated version so that I can do something else. From the good, the bad, and the bovine, I'm only going to mention one day. That's March 25. That was the National Medal of Honor Day.
Okay.
And I think that's important. What I'm going to do instead is, because today we're doing international westerns, I've got a hand-picked list of 25 international westerns. I'm going to run through it real quick. We may touch on all of them. We may touch on none of them. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But I'm going to start out with the most obvious, the good, the bad, and the ugly, Italian. Once Upon a Time in the West, Italian. Django, Spanish-Italian. For a Few Dollars More, Italian. The Proposition, Australia. El Topo, Mexico. Slow West, England. The Great Silence, Italy and Germany. And the Alps, I think. The Smothers Brothers, Italy. The Salvation, Denmark. The Power of the Dog, New Zealand. The Good, the Bad, and the Weird, South Korea. Quigley Down Under, Australia. The Story of the Ned Kelly Gang, Australia. The Treasure of Silver Lake, West Germany. There's the Sons of Great Bear, East Germany. Blueberry, French. Lemonade Joe, Czechoslovakia. The Bandit, Brazil. Blackthorn, Spain. Tears of the Black Tiger, Thailand. It's good with Thai food. 800 Bullets, Spanish. The White Sun of the Desert, Russian. Yeah. The Last of the Mohicans, 1920, Germany. And I'll finish off that list of 25 with They Call Me Trinity, Italian. A lot of Italian dishes here.
That's starring your friend Terrence Moore, or Terrence Hill.
Yeah.
And Neil's friend.
Well, what do you got, Harry?
Oh, I got a... You know, you already took my thunder here.
I did, didn't I? Well, do your own list.
All right, well, you know, I got some Italians here. Well, actually, I got the one that I think kind of kicked off everything. Seven Samurai from Japan.
I almost put that on there, but yeah, I didn't.
Kurosawa's masterpiece influencing mucho Western stories.
Influenced by Macbeth.
Mm-hmm. Pistol for Ringo, 1965. Mm. That's a popular early spaghetti Western. Let's see, a Massacre Time, 1966. Mm. It is a... Lucio Fulci's A Violent Revenge Tale. The Hellbenders from 66, oh, Italy, Spain.
Hey, looky here. Our audience has grown.
Oh, it is.
David.
And Bandidos. Let's see, did I say Hellbenders? Bandidos. We've got, let's see, God Forgives, I Don't.
That's that's a lot of pasta here.
It certainly is. Wait a second here. I gotta fix him. There we go. All right, now that should be fixed up, I think.
Well, Todd, have you got a list?
I do have a list.
my list is kind of all over the place.
Okay.
That's the way it should be.
And let's see, where do I start?
How about the beginning?
First one.
Okay, wow, Harry.
Or start at the back and go forward.
Organize.
Or go to the middle and go each way. Good
so,
start.
all right, damn it. So, you had mentioned Yojimbo, Seven Samurai.
Yeah.
Which, yes, influenced the movie Seven Magnificent Seven.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But Yojimbo influenced even more because Yojimbo influenced by Kurosawa. It influenced The Man with No Name, which was Fistful of Dollars, A Few Dollars More, and The Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
Mm-hmm.
As you had mentioned that, it's based on Macbeth. No, Macbeth was translated into Throne of Blood by Kurosawa.
Mm.
But the other thing that I'm going to go the long way around here, so try to be patient.
Okay.
The Star Wars original trilogy, you know, it had the Death Star in it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. With George Lucas. Well, that's based on Kurosawa's Hidden Fortress.
Mm-hmm.
And as George Lucas says, his pictures are Westerns. Obi-Wan Kenobi and Luke Skywalker are in a lighter color. Darth Vader's wearing black. You got the white hat and the black hats. The Emperor is in black. You have that dichotomy there, but you also have, at the same time, Kurosawa saying that all his films were Westerns. He said the stories are Shakespearean, but the setup and the presentation is a Western.
Mm-hmm.
Good versus evil, the underdog, stories of honor, faithfulness, and so on. It's interesting because although Kurosawa never made a film about America, Leone made a lot of films about America. Basically, most of his films were about America, or the most notable ones. And it brings an interesting question to bear, which is that Leone might know more about America than Americans in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because he didn't get to live here. He grew up, he grew up in Italy, of course, was the lowest level of assistant director on Ben-Hur, and he worked on many other films that were made in Italy by American production companies. So he had this love affair with America, but he didn't get to live there. He didn't get to be there. So from afar, he might understand it a little better than others who are, shall I say, take it for granted.
Born and bred.
That's an interesting. Yeah. Born and bred, and I think that asks some very interesting questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he answers a lot of them, and I would say that maybe his greatest masterpiece, in my opinion, is Once Upon a Time in the West, but there are a lot of people that feel it's Once Upon a Time in America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the Italians did a buttload of Westerns, and these were not necessarily filmed in Italy, but more over in Spain, I think, most of them. You can't really tell. I mean, you can if you know. That's, well, hey, now wait a second. That's not Iverson Ranch.
Well, here's the thing, too. As Todd was saying, John Ford probably had more influence on Kurosawa than any other director, but that Ford influence went throughout the world.
Sure.
And because the very first movie I worked on was called The Outrage, which was an adaptation from Rashomon. Three stories, more than three stories told from different points of view. And then I did the Petrocelli series, which was a modern detective thing, the same format. And so, you know, it's like, you know, you go right back to the Great Train Robbery, Western, and all stories seem to spread out from there. The French were making stories before we were,
yeah.
But their stories were formatted, and we followed that. It's, you know, it's just an intricate spider web of connections.
And it's interesting that, you know, the way the French did, that their presentation is more, how you say,
French?
I'll throw out some French here. How you say, the way they tell the story, it's cinematic as opposed to dramatic. I think that's where I'm trying to go.
A lot of the films
I would
I
agree
have
with
on
that,
my,
Harry. I would agree.
A lot of the films I have on my list here, one of the things that stands out in all of them, or most of them, is the cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, you know, then you get back to Ford again, the cinematography, where the land, the country is as much a story
sure.
as the people, sometimes more so.
And it should be, I think. But, making movies.
There's an American film, silent film, with I think it was Lillian Gish, called The Wind,
mm-hmm.
that is considered one of the greatest movies ever made, because it's not about the pioneer or the woman who's driven mad by the wind.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the wind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and here's another, we were talking Shakespeare before, Johnny Hamlet. 1968, Italy. It's I'm going to pronounce the name, I hope, correctly. Castellari's interpretation of Shakespeare. That sounds pretty interesting. The ruthless four.
Well, there's Joe Macbeth.
Yeah, yeah.
There's Johnny the Bastard. Oh, that's not
Django the Bastard. Sergio Garon.
There's more of there's more Django sequels made than any other movie.
Apparently so.
And some of them are just other movies that they just changed the title. Had nothing to do with them at all.
Anyway, the Italians did make a buttload of movies. In Spain. Go ahead.
I want to go back a little further before the Italians. I want to start with a picture called The Treasure of Silver Lake. It was made in 62-63 by Fantasy Films. It was made in West Germany, and it was also a Yugoslavia production. And the German title was Der Schatz in Silbersee. It was shot in some kind of scope. I don't know what it is. It was an 80-minute film. Harold Reyne directed it. The story source was Carl May, who was the James Fenimore Cooper of Germany.
Hmm.
And he, it's interesting, his story itself is almost a whole story in itself. He was a con man, went to prison. While he was in prison, he got this idea because he read the Cooper stories, and he just wrote a German version of it.
Hmm.
With Old Shatterhand and Winnetou. But these things caught on. Let me just go back to that one. The cast on that was Lex Barker. He was Old Shatterhand. And Pierre Bryce was Winnetou. It had Gulch George, Herbert Lom, who everybody remembers from the Pink Panther.
Oh, yeah.
Karen Dorr and Edie Arendt. Now, the interesting thing is, it was the first of the Winnetou films, again, based on the Carl May stories. And it was about an Indian and his white brother, phenomenally successful throughout Europe, a revival of all things Western, creating the commercial and cultural content that produced the Italian Westerns.
Hmm.
In other words, the Italians.
And ripped them off there.
Yeah. I can remember watching some of the German Westerns before. But right after I got out of the Navy, here at Ruidoso to drive in, they didn't like to spend a lot of money on movies. So they did one, I remember, with Guy Madison. I can't remember the name of it right offhand. But they were, you knew right away they weren't American Westerns, but they were still Westerns, and you could enjoy them, especially because they had some of your old favorites
mm-hmm.
portraying them. And that was the the Italian or the Euro Westerns was a second home for a lot of American actors whose careers had just basically dried up, and they went over and had a second career. Cam Mitchell, you know, he went over there. He had a dispute with the company that he was shooting for, and they said, well, if you don't do this, you'll never work again in America. So he said, okay. He went to Europe, became a big star over there.
Yeah.
But, you know, he did, what was it, plays a black guy, gunfighter going blind. I can't remember the name of it. But he did several good ones, and I saw them, and you have the feeling that, no, this isn't America. But what did the American West really feel like back then? It was full of foreigners.
Well, yeah, it was.
You know, so what did it really feel like? You know, we get the Buffalo Bill dime novel version of America.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you'll look at, you know, like Will Penny. They have the one character that's a Dutchie, you know. And that's one of the things that's missing in our movies.
Yeah,
Dutchie.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Carl. I think you want to say something.
Yeah, he was just agreeing with your character there.
Oh,
hey, go ahead.
You know, as you're talking about Carl May, Carl May, the author, you know, unfortunately, he sold over 200 million novels. Well known for being Hitler's favorite author.
Mm-hmm.
So they've never made a Carl May film in America, and they probably never will.
Because of
that stigma. But he was extremely successful. He loved the West. There are pictures of him all dudeed up in photography studios, dressed in buckskins and carrying an American rifle and looking like a prairieman. But, you know, being that Hitler loved his books so much, nobody will ever
That Aryan.
Yeah, interesting.
But, you know, the other thing, too, though, is, you know, Carl May Town, which was a Western town that the Germans built, ended up in East Germany during the Russian occupation. But that was the most popular tourist destination in Germany before the war, and it's still one of the most popular tourist destinations in Germany.
I have friends who have gone over to Germany to do shows. They're pirate shows, but next door they've got a Western town.
Yeah.
You know, so the Germans love this kind of stuff. We're going to take our first commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, and Todd Roberts with you. We'll be back with much more after these very important messages.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club is one of the best-kept economic secrets in town. This 900-member group maintains one of the finest shotgun shooting ranges in the country, featuring trap, skeet, five-stand, and sporting clays fields, and hosts national and international events that bring thousands of people and millions of dollars into our community. The Spring Satellite Grand American Tournament alone involves 1,200 participants for 10 days. Learn more about this and their other contributions to our community at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com.
We even heard you sent for a marshal. You know, that was right careless of you. We're cleaning up this town, and no one's going to stop us.
This is the Voices of the West.
Think we ought to saddle up and ride into town while there's still a little light. We'll play a game of cards and do some dancing with the ladies on this Arizona Saturday night.
We're back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts with you. International Westerns movie Saturday topic for today. We're out at the White Stallion Ranch.
The International White Stallion Ranch.
Yeah, that's pretty true. Every, you know, whenever they have folks from other countries visiting here, they have the flags that they fly of that country out front, so you know who all is here.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of cool.
I do, too.
But anywho. Let's see. All right. Now, the very first Western from England, they call them roast beef Westerns over there. The very first Western from England was an 1899 movie, a silent short called Kidnapping by Indians. It did not put the Indians in a very good light. And I mean, when has movie done that? When has a movie done that? And so there was a lot of consternation about that particular movie, and the Brits didn't shoot a whole bunch more.
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing, because you just said, and I got another thing here, but you're talking about the Indians not being in good light. Well, I have a movie here, The Sons of Great Bear. This is 1966, and it's East Germany.
Yeah.
And the commies made a ton of Westerns with the Indian as the main protagonists and heroes because they were the underdog, the downtrodden, the picked upon.
Yep.
They were great communist propaganda films.
For sure.
But this film is really well, it looks beautiful and it's well shot.
There's a bunch of others there from East Germany, Chingachgook.
Chingachgook. That's from Last of the Mohegans.
Okay. Apaches from 73 and a movie called Ulzana. You weren't in that one, Bunker.
But that's not the German version.
No, no. In 74. Blutsbrüder, which is Blood Brothers, in 75. And Der Scout in 1983.
It's a good thing the wall fell. Well, I want to go back to the English now, because we talked about this one before. This is from 1906, from June 1906, the United Kingdom, The Squatter's Daughter. It ran 183 minutes. That's long for back then.
Yeah.
The production company and distribution company was Hayworth Manufacturing Company, and they were based in rural Walton-on-Thames. It was black and white, silent, short. I think that time is wrong. It can't be as short as it was that long. The director was Lou Fitzhelman, and he directed a lot of stuff over there. The producer was Cecil M. Hepworth. That was his company. The cast was Dolly Lupone. She was the daughter, or the squatter's daughter. Fitzhelman, the director, was also the squatter, or the dad. And Bertie Mainwaring, Bertie, got to be English, you know he's got a name, Bertie, as the Indian chief. It was, the location was Putney Common, just outside of London.
Okay.
And an Indian captures a girl, Lupone. Her father, Fitzhelman, saves her from the stake. This is the first true British Western in the sense of a Western like we think a Western,
yeah.
Not like the other one.
Yeah.
It was held in BFI National Archives. There are prints of it. One point during the Indian camp scene, a sailing ship goes past in the background, you know, big four-master. The Hepworth Manufacturing Company was founded in 1903 as Hepworth Company by the director and producer, Cecil Milton Hepworth. He was from 1874 to 1953. He went bankrupt in 1923. The director, Llewellyn Fitz Fitzhamon, was principal director for Hepworth in early decades of the 20th century, and total directed around 400 films. The studio produced comedy trick films, which was like, you know, people would do stuff, you know, kind of like magic films, nightmarish fantasies, chess films, and actualities and topicals. And one of the interesting things is that they were doing special effects movies. Hmm. And their most popular movie that Fitzhamon did was a dog movie. And the dog was like one of the first movie star dogs.
What'd the dog do for special effects?
Bark. In a silent film.
Bark, bark. Can't hear you. Bark louder.
What'd he say? Rough.
Todd, get in there.
So, you know, Australia is a corner of the world that has produced some excellent westerns.
Mm-hmm.
Two of my favorites are Man from Snowy River and The Sundowners with Robert Mitchum.
Ooh.
Both excellent films. And, you know, of course, Quigley Down Under as well. You know, they don't call them ranches. They call them stations.
Mm-hmm.
And
meat pie.
They have stations that are entire, just one station. Can be as big as the state of Texas.
That's one of the smaller ones.
Yeah, they got the room for it over there. That's for sure.
Yeah. Okay, the climate is a little brutal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they grow them tough there, and that's why they have westerns, because the people can relate to them as they watch other people grow up and so forth. And I don't think you can count out Canada as either. They made a their own answer to Dances with Wolves. It's called Black Robe. And it's an excellent film. And it talks about a French missionary going to Canada and trying to, introduce himself and get along with the natives. Not necessarily goes well. But the film is excellent.
Well, another, in Australia, there was a rather famous bad guy there called Ned Kelly. And in 1906 came out the story of the Kelly Gang. It's considered to be the world's first feature-length narrative film, even though it is a silent film. But there have been so
it has title cards.
Title cards, yeah. And there are so many, I don't know if that many, but a lot of Kelly Gang movies that have been made and remade. For example, Ned Kelly in 1970 and then in 2003. Another, various.
The Kelly one.
Yeah, various portrayals. The history, true history of the Kelly Gang in 2019. Stylistic take on the legendary Bush Ranger.
He's like the Jesse James of.
Yeah, kind of.
Only even more so.
Yeah, kind of, I guess. And let's see, the one that you talked about earlier, Bunker, The Proposition from 2005.
Oh, yeah.
It's a violent, atmospheric tale of outlaws in 19th century Queensland. Now, you have to remember, 19th century, that's the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
The Australian continent is just
about 95% wild. It's all on the coast.
Yeah, and everything that's in the interior is, who knows, probably prisoners. And it was a penal colony to begin with, so you got to imagine that there was all kinds of stuff going on.
That picture is a favorite of mine in the sense that the premises, there's this gang that have been just running rampant, and the constabulary, they want him so bad, and they get this one sergeant, and they put the pressure on him, and it's almost like, you either catch him or you're going to be a prisoner yourself. And so what he does is he goes out and he catches one of the brothers. And this is the brother is the one that pretty much heads up the gang.
Yeah.
And he tells him, here's the deal. You turn in the gang. No, it's the younger brother. You turn in the gang and you kill your brother. Not catch him. Kill your brother. And we'll let you go free. So now he's got this, you know, and he turns him loose. So now he's got that thing. Hey, I'm loose and I'm free. But this guy, he's got the Indian sign on me. He's scared of
him. Yeah.
And so what does he do? How does he solve this? And, of course, it's in that fine Australian landscape, which some of it makes Death Valley look like a
resort.
Yes, very much so. Yeah.
Yeah, here's another one. Two of these were made, robbery under arms, from 57 and then in 1985, based on the novel about Bush Ranger Captain Starlight.
Oh, yes.
And I love it, the Bush Rangers, that's what they call them down there. Not cowboys, they're Bush Rangers, you know? I think
they
that's
were
cool.
Bad boys.
Yeah.
Like the guys in Tombstone.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So,
well,
you know, there's bunches of them. And, of course, you have some key action-driven westerns with Mad Max 2, a Road Warrior from 81, widely recognized as a after the world goes
apocalyptic.
Thank
Western,
you so much.
Kinda, yeah.
You know, I've only doing this for 50 years. It's amazing what a living I made.
Yes, it is. It's totally
what a living it was. and then the Rover.
West it was.
Yeah, Rover in 2014, a dystopian Western set in the Australian desert. So, bunches of stuff there from down under. Another one here. The Chant of Jimmy Blacksmith.
Harrowing
story of racial tension and violence. And I'm guessing Jimmy Blacksmith is probably an Aborigine.
Yes.
I've not seen the movie.
That is a must-see movie.
Okay.
It really is.
All right.
It's a must-see. It's a great find.
Good stuff's there. And, okay, where shall we go next? I know. Let's go to a commercial, and then we'll come back and talk about
ourselves.
Some other good, cool Western movies from everywhere else. We'll be back. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts. We'll be back on Voices of the West after this.
Can you even imagine switching back to pen and paper to run your business? Every year, we become more and more dependent upon our technology. If your network is not set up properly, you're just one click or one email away from losing data critical to your operation. Arizona Computer Guru offers a host of services to prevent and protect you from disaster. From online backup services to email filtering to fully managed network services, Arizona Computer Guru is here to keep your network secure, your data safe, and your budget in the black. To schedule your free consultation, call 304-8300.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club dates from 1948 and is now at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway. The club owns 80 acres and leases 300 more from Pima County that supports 50 trap fields, 15 skeet fields, 2 5-stand fields, 2 sporting plays courses with 12 stations each, a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, 200 full-service RV hookups for members, and free Wi-Fi. This expansive facility gives enough room to host major national and international events annually, bringing thousands of people to the community. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSki.com.
Get them all?
Didn't miss a one. Held this fella for you, Cap, and sweated him. Admits he rode the Buckhorn Trail.
So you used to ride the Buckhorn Trail, eh?
What of it?
You know who trail jumped the Wyatt family?
What's it worth to you?
Oh, plenty if you know.
Just how much?
Your life.
I ain't telling.
This is the Voices of the West.
We are back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles. Our program is coming to you from the White Stallion Ranch, just north of Tucson, north and west of Tucson. Fun place to be.
It is.
I mean, it's a hoot. It's a hoot. It's a ton of fun to be out here. And our topic on Movie Saturday, which is why we're out here, is international westerns. And what country shall we visit next?
Denmark.
Okie dokie.
I've got one here, and this is definitely a must-see western. It's called The Salvation. It was released in May 17, 2014 at the Cannes Film Festival. And it was French and Denmark, but Mads Mikkelsen is the protagonist in this. In this, he plays a veteran, a Dutch veteran from the European wars, the Napoleonic and on, and he comes to America. And, of course, he has an accent, so the typical American town bully guy starts picking on him,
yeah.
And he picks on the wrong guy.
Oh!
But things escalate, and they escalate. At one point, the main bad guy has more or less taken the town, and he tells everybody, if you don't produce this duchy, I'm going to start killing people. And the first thing he does is he shoots somebody in the head.
Yeah.
So, you know, they know he means business.
Okay.
But this movie is beautifully shot, a lot of tension. And I would say, you know, if you want to try dip your toe in a European Euro-Western, this might be a good one to start with.
Where might one find a movie such as that?
Well, some of these, like this one, you should be able to find in any of the outlets that you rent movies from. I know you can get it from Amazon and like that if you want to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend renting them because so many people buy movies and then it sits on the shelf and they only watch it once in a while.
Or on the TV.
Yes, yeah. It has played on TV.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, what else you got?
Well, let's go to Russia here for a minute.
All right.
You know, let's get around. Let's see what the Euro continent's like. This is the White Son of the Desert. This is another one I think people would enjoy. It was released in December 14, 1969 in Leningrad. It was the premiere. The original title, I get to test my Russian, Harry.
Ah, very good.
Okay. Vevi Santes Putni. Sounds kind of good, didn't it?
Sounds Apache.
Yeah, it does. It was 84 minutes in gin color.
I thought you were speaking Navajo.
Hey there, Todd, boy. Hey, good talk you. No, anyhow, this movie, it takes place out in the vast deserts out in the middle Gobi area, and this the main protagonist is a Russian soldier that's been left behind, and by some weird coincidence of fate and script writing, he becomes the protector of a group of Muslim women who are beautiful just by chance.
Okay.
Yeah, and so what's funny is like one of the, and this is what's so cool though, one, and they're all dressed like hoochie cooch dancers, you know.
Okay.
And of course they got the thing over the top of it, so but you get to see underneath it.
Yeah.
But one of them, and she is a beauty. She's got one of those little mustaches that some Euro women have. It's just at the far edges at their upper lip.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little.
It's probably Spanish.
Yeah, very, very rockety. But you know, he gets buried in the desert up to his neck, and there's all kinds of things. But again, you know, these films, you know, the way to approach them is let's have fun.
You know, yeah, exactly. Just like when you watch any particular movie that has not been released yesterday.
Yeah.
Watch it for the time in which it was released and be able to understand it a little bit more. Let's go to France.
France?
Let's not say we did, but...
Okay, let me find a Frenchie here.
I got the Legend of Frenchie King.
Oh, there you go.
And I'm not even going to try the French pronunciation.
Oh, go for it.
It's a Western comedy with Brigitte Bardot and Claudia Cardinale. That's all you need to say.
Oh, that was... They shot part of that in Mexico.
Did they really?
Yes.
Blueberry.
Yes, now we're talking.
Blueberry Renegade, 2004... stars of Vincent Cassel. I don't know much about the movie.
Blueberry. I had it here.
You have it there. Another one here, A Girl is a Gun, directed by Luc Mollet.
Oh, here's Blueberry.
Okay. All right, tell us about Blueberry there, Bob.
Well, Blueberry was, what was it? February 11, 2004. It was a Belgian and French production. The alternate title in the United States was Renegade. It was 124 minutes, color. Filming dates, that means that's when they shot, was from July through August 24, 2002. The director was John Coonan. It was from the comic book that by Sean Mobius Gerard and Jean Michael Charrier, but it didn't have much to do with the comic book. Mm-hmm. They kind of got away from it. And the screenplay was the director, again, Coonan, and Gerald Bach. And, well, he's got here. Let's skip around some of this stuff. Oh, as she mentioned Vincent Cassel. He was Blueberry. Juliette Lewis was Maria Sullivan, and her dad, Jeffrey Lewis. He was Dad Sullivan. I can't remember his first name. Oh, Wally. And the Michael Madsen, who I love. This guy makes great heavies.
Mm.
He's Wallace Wally Sebastian Blount. And he's, again, one of the bully types, you know. Beats the crap out of Blueberry, and that's why Blueberry decides to become... Oh, in fact, he beats the crap out of him, leaves him out in the desert, and an Indian shaman... finds him, and his family raises him in Apache, and he becomes very interested in the shamanistic things that happen there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the movie, the ending is really different. Instead of the traditional gunfight, it is a shamanistic duel between the two of them. It's very psychedelic.
Mm.
This film has been compared to El Topo.
Like an acid western.
An acid western, exactly. And
drop a hit.
Yeah, let's see if there's anything else here. Mm. Okay, let me give you some of the locations of that. They shot it in France. I'm assuming that was probably interiors. In Mexico, they shot in Zacatecas, Sierra de Arango, Sombrerete, Coahuila, Torreon, Chihuahua, Ciudad Juarez, and Durango. And I think, in Spain, Andalusia. In Andalusia, they shot in Almería, Fort Bravo Cinema Studio, Texas Hollywood, Almería, Paraje de Unaje, Tabernas. How about that? Man, I'm just really brutalized.
It still sounds Navajo.
Yeah.
We've got another one here from France. Actually, it's a West German, French, and Italian production called The Pirates of the Mississippi from 1963.
That's up your alley.
It is. River Pirates, of course. Why not?
Yeah.
But, you know, we're...
Mike Fink.
What else? Let's see. I have... Well, Todd, you need to get in there, but I've also wanted to go to some Mexican Westerns. as well. But Todd, jump in there.
No, jump into the Mexican. And I'll comment as we go.
All right. The first one I've got is Vámonos con Pancho Villa from 1936. It's regarded as one of the best Mexican films. Detailing the cruelty of the revolution is noted on this Movie Music International webpage, which I don't have, but that's okay. That's what it says. So we've got that one. And there have been buttloads of Pancho Villa movies made. I don't know,
Mexico in the 30s was considered one of the best countries in the world for movie making.
I imagine.
Their cinematographers were the best. The sound was, and they're just, and they knew how to shoot black and white landscapes. Now, I have another Mexican movie here.
Okay.
This is one that makes most movie lovers grab their hat and run.
Uh-oh.
It's El Topo.
Oh, yes.
In December 18, 1970, it premiered in New York City. It was 125 minutes, Technicolor, Mono Productions, Panaceas, Abaco Films, Mexico, and Fantasy Films, which was a big distribution outfit throughout Europe. The director, the music, the production design, the screenplay, costume design, Alejandro Jodorowsky. And I saw a great documentary on him on the making of Dune. Wow, this guy was a mad genius. Man, I'm going to skip a bunch of this stuff here. Let's get down here. Camera operator was Miguel Garzón. That's important because the camera work in this thing. And outlaw El Topo defies the four masters of the desert for the love of a woman. Defeating them, his conscience rises until his wife betrays him and his new life as a holy man begins.
Okay.
That's a Western.
Yeah, I hear. And here's another one. This is a modern or neo-Mexican Western. Casa de mi Padre from 2012. It's a comedy, stars Will Ferrell.
Okay. It's all in Spanish.
Is it? I haven't seen it.
Yes.
So I wouldn't
know. It's like a telenovela.
You haven't seen it either, Todd?
No, didn't even know it was out there.
Well, here's one that I know we've all three of us have seen at least once, if not more. The Three Burials of Melquiades Estrada.
Mm-hmm.
A modern Western set on the border. What a damn fine beautiful movie that is.
It's
beautiful.
Tony Lee Jones.
Oh.
Yeah.
The man is a master filmmaker.
Oh, God. And before we go to break, the one that I will talk about until the cows come home, the Mexico trilogy. It's El Mariachi Desperado.
Oh, yeah.
Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Robert Rodriguez, action-filled modern take.
Brilliant.
And,
all three
of them. My God, the man is such a director.
And the turtle.
Oh.
At the beginning, he walks left to right, and at the end, he walks camera right to left. He followed the dog.
I know. All right. We got to do our last commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles. International Westerns, our topic on Movie Saturday. Be back.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. When people turn 50, something miraculous happens. They start to get serious about retirement planning. They've done very well so far and want to be certain they power into the retirement they've earned. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
Hello, I'm Mr. Ed.
No doubt you've heard about rescue groups for dogs and cats, but did you know there's a rescue group for horses? That's right, it's called Horse It Around Rescue. Founders Steve Boyce and Teresa Worrell are helping out all those equine victims of neglect and cruelty by giving them a place to restore their health and wellness. And Horse It Around provides a nurturing and natural environment where horses can be horses, so they can be adopted out into forever homes. More than 120 horses, mules, and donkeys have been adopted out, but like everything else, it costs money to run the project. Horse It Around is a 501c3 nonprofit located in Southeast Arizona. Your tax-deductible donations to Horse It Around will go a long way so those horses can be horses. Check out the website, horseitaroundrescue.org. Make a difference in a horse's life. That's horseitaroundrescue.org.
Besides bringing millions a year into this community with national and international events, the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway services the local shooting sports community with a 380-acre site featuring trap, skeet, five stand, and two sporting clays fields, as well as a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, which all is available to local shooters, and soon, an archery range. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com or take a drive out west of town and see it for yourself. New members or single-day use, welcome.
I got witnesses right here to prove that Wilton murdered Fred Wynn.
That's right, Irwin.
I heard him say so. Oh, and by the way, Sheriff, I got Ware inside. You might as well take him along, too. I got a signed confession that he framed my father into the asylum. So you see, boys, all it takes is a little frontier justice. Good day.
This is the Voices of the West.
Sun-kissed sweetheart, I'll soon be coming back again to you, where Arizona sunshine kisses that little western ranch we had in view.
We are back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles, the Golden Pals of the West there with that particular tune, Arizona Sunset.
Yeah, beautiful Arizona
Sunset. It is, yeah. Good stuff. All right, International Westerns is the topic today for Movie Saturday. Zapata Westerns in Mexico. They're all about revolutionaries.
Yeah. It's a lot of revolution. You know, Mexico, from the time that they kicked the French out, from then on, it was like
revolution,
one right after another. You know, all the generals ended up presidents.
For a while.
Until they got assassinated.
For a while, at least. Yeah. Todd Roberts, get in there on the final moments.
Yeah, earn your money,
well,
bud.
I think what this says is that the Western, which is uniquely American, is in general, when you know, people always talk about film or music, or our entertainment is our number one export, and I would say that our number one export really is the fantasy of, which is real, but when it's on film or music or whatever, it becomes a fantasy, is the fantasy of freedom. Mm-hmm. That's what we're selling. Mm-hmm. That's what people buy into, the narrative of our freedom, our carefree way of life, open spaces. You're able to stretch your arms and your legs, and you don't got anybody crowding you. And you got to, but with that comes the peril of having to defend yourself. You better be ready to fight for what is yours if you want to keep it. And that's the common theme for all Westerns. But no matter where you go, whether it's Kurosawa or it's George Lucas or it's Leone, they're all in love with Westerns. You know, as the great Orson Welles said when discussing great film directors, he said, "I like the old masters. John Ford, John Ford, and John Ford."
With a good
and
lingerie.
I think that, you know, nobody, I think there are very few that can compete with Welles on critiquing film and the artistry of film, because he made so much of it himself.
That's for
but
sure.
You look at Kurosawa, his most prized possession was his hat, his English wool driving cap that Ford gave him. And he used it, everybody who he saw, he would, if he was wearing it, he'd say, "Do you like my cap? Have you seen my cap? Look at this cap. You know where I got this cap? I got this cap from John Ford. John Ford sent me this cap. Can you believe it?" So, you know, when people talk about all these original ideas, Star Wars, it's a Western. And, yeah, Kurosawa created Westerns with his films, but he was inspired by a Western director, and all his films were Westerns. He said, "We don't have cowboys in China and Japan. We have samurai. The stories are Shakespearean, but the presentation and the virility of the characters is an American Western."
Right.
Okay.
I think it crosses many lines, and it says a lot about the genre, no matter how much Hollywood tries to deny it.
I want to mention this, because this is one of my very, very, very most favorite Euro Westerns.
Okay.
I saw this right after I got out of the Navy, well, a couple of years ago. It was a movie called Lemonade Joe, made in 1966, with Fantasy Films, Czechoslovakian. It was shot in Coca Loca color. Now, you're asking yourself, what the hell is Coca Loca color?
I am.
Basically, they had a yellow, kind of a banana yellow filter on it, so everything had this kind of yellow cast. It was a spoof, but it was a brilliant spoof. The main hero is kind of like Buster Scruggs, you know. But he comes to the town and he's selling Coca Loca cola. And he goes into the saloon, and of course the saloon doesn't want to sell cola. They want to sell whiskey.
Yeah, right.
And so, of course, altercations start to happen between the saloon owner and our hero. And the fact the hero was Carol Filala, and the bad guy was Milos Kopecky. That's their real names. I don't know what their Czech names in the movie were. But they fought back and forth. Now, what's really great about this, and this is, I love it, I think, because it's very politically incorrect. During the final shootout, the hero is just winning badly. He's killing everybody that's on the bad guy's side. So the bad guy decides to escape into the saloon. The hero follows him in, and he can't find him. There's only one person in the saloon, and he can't find the bad guy. Bad guy has put on blackface.
Oh.
And he's doing the jive talk, uh-huh. And he sends him off. But
wow.
It is so politically incorrect and so hilarious that all I can say is, for politically incorrect,
yeah, right.
I love it.
We don't care about being politically correct. In fact, we're always politically incorrect.
Just showing up, yeah.
We just don't care.
I care. I really care about it.
Yeah, I care.
I like to thumb my nose at it.
I love to offend people.
Yeah.
It's my
time
hobby.
For one more?
It's my. You got time for one more.
Okay. Tears of the Black Tiger.
Ooh.
That was October 5th, 2000, at the Vancouver International Film Festival premiere. I won't even try to pronounce it because the title is in Thai.
Okay.
And the thing about it, though, is it's a very modern, almost Chinese, which I had close. You know, you got the military guys in the uniforms and stuff, but all of the fighting and the everything is done gunfighter Western style. And they at one point the heroes go from wearing street clothes into Western wear. They have a shootout with each other.
Okay.
The one guy, they draw. The one guy so fast that the other guy just he drops his draw, fires six shots, spins the gun back and forth, and pops it in his holster. And this is the neat part. Here's the gun sitting in the shoulder holster, and the smoke is trailing up.
Nice.
But his good friend, who they've just had the shootout with,
yeah.
He's patting himself over trying to find out where he's at.
That's good. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, it's a fun film. You know, again, it's one of those, if you like to laugh a little bit, and they also have, because it's Oriental, they have to have a couple of songs.
Sure.
But that's part of the thing. It's like the old B-Westerns with, you know, Roy Ching Wong and Gene Autry. Autry Tutu.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, out at the White Stallion Ranch, talking international westerns. Next time we get together, it's going to be more talk about westerns.
78, 79, adios and ciao, you Anglophiles.
So long, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West.